mean, this reverend, Christian reverend, brought it up. This is another thing that they attack Muslims on, having caring for multiple families.
Yes, yes, yes. Polygamy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or as I call it, extending the family, right? Yeah. So what happens is there's a Christian pastor. You can find this. He wrote a book because he's in one part of the world where they have such an excess of women.
Yeah.
And even the president, he's giving incentives for men. He's begging men.
Okay, we have excess of women. By the year 2020, we are going to have women in Ghana between the ages of 15 and 55. 3 million from the statistics of 2010. Population and housing census 2010. Go and check. Between the ages of 15 and 55, we are going to have 3 million women who will not find husbands if each man married one wife. Tanzania has 30 million women, 20 million men. In February of this year, President John Magufuli was begging, literally begging the men to take 2-3 wives because they're over 10 million women can't find husbands. And you know what that means?
No.
Okay. There will be increase in prostitution, extramarital affairs. There will be increase in unwanted pregnancies, then abortions, sexually transmitted diseases. And when there is excess women, they say the beautiful ones are here to be born, right? They see the beautiful ones, the old marriages will collapse because the men will leave them and go and take new wives. So when you say that polygamy is destabilizing, think about monogamy as well.
I think your point is made. Thank you very much. Reverend Daniel Eshen has made a very strong point.
These are Christians. These are Christians now espousing and calling for this because it goes back to much of the natural way.
Yeah, so there have been in history, there's like Anabaptist Christians in German communities.
Can one of you, you know how our friend Joe Rogan?
Yes.
I think he's the guy, you know, Joe, when you're looking for the guy for the statistic or somebody's name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the guy looks it up. Can you look up? I'm curious to know. President calls for... the president calls for polygyny in his country.
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, we haven't used this this feature of podcasting.
Yes, please.
Can you look that up?
I mean, it's not just
it's a solution now. I'm saying find something better. It's not something that's obligatory, but it's a solution to a growing problem. And they're having the president. I mean, this guy. I mean, he's what is it? That's another one. See, this is not even the one that I'm thinking. This is another one.
You look it up, you find it.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You have a small community in the world, has their worldview, and now you're trying to do, they're doing dawah for the rest of us.
Yes.
Is that?
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, most world religions openly endorse these things. Obviously, it's the churches or the religious communities of those religions which sometimes suppress those things for legalistic reasons. But certainly the Haredi Jewish community, they believe in polygamy. A large portion of those things, if you look at their rulings, a lot of their clerics, even to this day in Israel, they're talking about polygamy as polygyny, something which is very much practiced, which is men marrying more than one woman. And the Anabaptists, I remember even after the whole Martin Luther experience in the 16th, 17th centuries, and the Protestant Reformation, there emerged a group called the Anabaptist Christians. And I think they made it actually obligatory for a man to have at least two wives, and they use biblical verses to justify their belief, and so on. I mean, obviously, most of the world religions have this, but the point is this. Once again, we go back to our premise. Our premise is that different things are treated in different ways, and if we're saying that the physical and physiological and emotional infrastructure of a man is differentiated almost in its entirety from that of a woman, then certainly it's prescriptions regarding marriage and divorce should be slightly different in that regard. Otherwise, there will be universality where it's inappropriate for it to be. So obviously, a man having more than one wife comes with a lot of responsibility.
Yes.
And it comes with a lot of restriction as well from an Islamic Quranic perspective, and can only be done and in certain conditions. I mean, if certain precautions are taken and agreements are made, and so on. But it is a solution, and it is a solution which has helped humanity aforetime historically and continues to do so.
Yes.
And in fact, there's a growing problem in many societies where we travel. We go to Africa, we go to Asia, we go to all these places, and we find that there's a problem with like divorced sisters, that people, for some reason, for some strange reason, they become outcasted in their community. Mm-hmm. Even though really and truly, from a practical experience perspective, they have more experience, if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
They've been through something and they have more experience than, say, a person who's not been married before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The president's called Magufuli.
That's the one. Yes. Yeah. John Magufuli.
He said, "I am not forcing you, but just encouraging you to marry two or more wives to reduce on women staying without husbands."
There you have it. So they didn't realize it. It's a social issue. Of John Magufuli.
John Magufuli, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's telling him to, he's not forcing you, but he's encouraging. So the thing is, it's a natural thing. If you look at sociological trends, it makes a lot of sense for a man sometimes to marry more than one. We have to revive this sunnah.
So
maybe in another country, since now, this is now illegal here in this country.
I only brought that up is to for the empowering aspect of, because we brought up connecting it back to the natural way. I mean, of course, the number one natural way, I mean, the number one thing is that pure monotheism. That's that thing that every human being, I mean, is a part of that nature, that connect to worship the creator, not the creation. It's just part of the human nature. But these other things that Muslims feel depowered, they feel like, you know, when you talk about many of these things, they feel like, how can my religion, everybody's against it. But then when you bring up a lot of these issues, this is amazing. Like, it just it brings people back to, like, wow, I didn't know this. For instance, like, people get teased about alcohol, for instance, you know, and then a recent study, for instance, concludes that no amount of alcohol is good for the human being. But the previous study, we all heard that, because it was now a gimmick. What they had is faulty. They had the alcohol companies funding. They were funding.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the alcohol companies were funding these studies that promoted alcohol.
Yes.
The new study comes out. It's in the Lancet. No amount of alcohol is good. And actually, WHO reports that one person every 10 seconds dies from alcohol consumption. Wow. So now that Muslim's at the party, right, somewhere maybe he's not supposed to be, or even he's in the place where work party, and now he's, you know, being offered this alcohol, and everybody's saying, come on, a glass of wine a day, it's no good. How can your religion deny something that's, you know, good for your health? You follow me? Or, for instance, we talked about fasting, right? People make fun of you. Like, how can you starve yourself? What's going on? But now we're quoting these scientific facts. They're all coming to the forefront, right? Anything in the deen is the natural way. There's nothing that the Creator told us to do, even though they're making fun of us one day. Mm. Now the joke's on you. Like, how can you fast all day? Now you're saying, man, this is for longevity, for life, for, you know, all of these things coming to the forefront now. But we're not doing it for the health, because the science is coming out. We're doing it because we trust in our Creator, but now we get to reap both.
Absolutely. And you know, the Quran says, "Ala ya'lamu man khalaqa wa huwa al-latif al-khabir." Does he not know what he created? And he is Allah the most subtle, you know, the most all aware. He is all knowing. Why waste all of our time, you know, trying to find sociological and psychological solutions when all of it has been sent to us through the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Which all his actions have been approved, stamp of approval from the Creator.
The all-knowing one.
The all-knowing. I mean, that's just the amazing. So these, I just bring up, we brought up this point because this is empowering. I mean, this is just, 100%. You know, this is just more and more evidence upon the Quran that we have, you know, with the most evidence that this is indeed from the Creator, and Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was like Jesus, Moses, Abraham, all the other messengers. Mm-hmm. He was a messenger sent as a mercy to mankind, calling us out of the love to submit our will to the Creator and get to Jannah, paradise. Yeah.
Well, Eddie, Jazakumullah khairan for this beautiful podcast.
Thank you.
I mean, there's a lot of gems. You were talking about gems. I think there's, you know, gold. there's a lot of gold now that they can reap from this podcast, especially when you were talking about health, etc. So I think it's very important for Muslims, you know, to have that awareness, to have that, as you put it quite succinctly, nutritional integrity. Yeah.